Welcome back to the call after pushing one on your phone. Looking forward to being with you this evening. This evening we're going to take on joy in the journey. The thing that we really all want. When Og says, I hunger for success, I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. The truth of the matter is that when it really boils down, the money we want to make, the things we might want to buy, the debts we want to pay off, we're trying to get to peace of mind. And sometimes we want the world to show up in that space so that we can not have to show up. In other words, we just get to be there. The world's just a beautiful, wonderful place. So we want to create this beautiful, wonderful place in the world. And Og tells us that it's just the opposite. We show up differently. The world's not going to change. I've read this before, but I want to read it again. He says, I'll begin to awake each morning with a vitality I've never known before. My vigor will increase. My enthusiasm will rise. My desire to meet the world, will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise. And I'll be happier than I ever imagined, ever believed it to be possible in this world of strife and sorrow. In this world of strife and sorrow, I'm experiencing a new vitality, enthusiasm, a desire to meet the fears and overcome them, and to be happier than I ever believed it possible in this world of strife and sorrow. That is an incredible statement. So our mission is for us to show up in a world of strife and sorrow in a way that we can rise above the firestorms and find joy in the journey. We can feel happy because we are happy regardless of what's happening around us. This is the measurements that we find in this particular area of the assessment. I want to spend just a little bit of time on each one of these measurements because they're critical. And what creates challenges in each one of them? This is going to be a hard discussion. I don't want it to be too difficult, but this is squarely placing the responsibility for happiness where it belongs, on our own shoulders. No thing or no one can make us happy. That is an absolute personal choice. These six measurements are so fascinating. The first one, grateful. We're not asking, are you or are you not grateful? The question is, how is your life stacking up in comparison to your expectations? This measurement is balanced. What I know is someone's in creation. They are a builder. They're a creator. They're taking whatever clay they've been given and they're creating with it. They use their mind to get ideas that inspire them instead of using their mind to create an expectation that's used as a measuring rod by which we measure our happiness. And the further our reality is away from our expectation, the more unhappy we become. That's a dangerous place to live, where we're holding our life, this tangible reality, the truth of our life, hostage to something that exists only in our mind. Now, the truth of the matter is this. There are some things that are terribly painful that we would rather not experience. There's no question. That's why agape love is so critical. This awareness so that we can look at all things with love and be born again. Love the sun, but we also love the rain. We love the light, but we also love the darkness. We love the joy, but we also love the sadness. Because that's where we are stretched and we grow and we become the person who can handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. That's our objective. So just take a look at your grateful measurement and say, wow, in what areas am I holding my reality, tangible reality, hostage to where I would rather be? And tonight, let this be the night where we say, what is the truth? Because we are where we are. This is the truth of it. The rest of it exists only in our mind. Now, if someone wants a Ferrari, they actually can go down to a Ferrari dealership and see a Ferrari. But a Ferrari in their garage that they own, that exists only in our mind. The house we want, that house probably exists, but for us, in our mind, we might want to have different health. Spend some time today with a beautiful woman who's had some health challenges. We don't want those health challenges. But the more we go, the more we resist it, the more we resent it, the more we're frustrated by it, want to rebel against it, the worse our life becomes and the less happy we are. Happiness is not in our mind. That's called fantasy. Happiness occurs in tangible reality. And it requires that we own our circumstances, whatever they may be. Someone can be happy. Man's Search for Happiness. Great book. They can take everything away from me, but my ability to make that choice. That's a choice. Persistent wants to ask us, how are the tangible things stacking up? In other words, in terms of money or recognition or being appreciated for what we're doing, do we have a healthy understanding of the relationship between what we do and the money we receive or the accolades, the recognition, the appreciation? Do we have a healthy relationship between that? We see this measurement start to drift into orange, and we know that someone's more focused on getting money than how to make it, of receiving money instead of earning it, because it takes time. And this measurement can get very impatient, and that's understandable. Let's say we got a mortgage payment due on Saturday, March 1st. We don't have the money in the bank account. That can be a real panic. And here's something we'll want to explore. The Tuesday night before the mortgage is due, we get all upset about it. The question is, what were we doing on the 1st of February and the 2nd of February and the 3rd of February? Did we do all that we could do in every one of those days? Because the gift is this. If we are constantly staying present in the now, not constantly, because we want to go into our mind to get ideas, but we're living here more than we're living in our mind. If we're doing all that we can do, what we know from February 1st to March 1st, wherever we are, it's the best it can be. The best it can be. It may not be what we'd want, but it's the best we can be. But if we wait to the last minute to go into panic and action and, you know, trying to get money from people and earn money and sell stuff and cramming the end of the month, what we don't know is what could have been created if we'd have done it from the first. So we got a first of the month coming up on Saturday. This measurement is orange. This is an opportunity for us to go, this problem gets solved by daily action. Daily action. I don't want a day to go by. The worse my situation, the more I want to be focused on creation. Taking the clay I've been given, creating the most I can with it, whatever that may be. That's being persistent. That word was chosen for a very specific reason. I'm going to persist until I succeed. I'm going to persist until I succeed. If I persist long enough, I will win. I will succeed. So far, grateful. We just want to be reflecting on, are we holding our life hostage to our expectation? Persistent. Do we have a healthy understanding between what it takes to create it and our need for it? What it takes to create it and our need for it. Effective. Are we being effective with our time? Are we just, I just need to get away and go do something, so it doesn't really matter? Do we have a plan for the day? Are we executing on a plan? Or are we maximizing our times, doing the most important things first? Or are we running around like a chicken with our head cut off in non-goal-directed, frenetic activity? We all know. So if we're just busy, 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 going through the motions, doing all this crazy stuff, then we're not going to be able to pay the price in persistence to get the remuneration, get the money we need to cover the things we need to cover, and we're going to hate our life even more. play with each other. Realistic. I don't want to beat anybody up tonight. That's not what this is about. But it might be a wake-up call. It might be. That for the first time, we're going to take a look at this and go, I'm totally responsible for whether I'm happy or sad. That's my job. Anybody else's. And I'm not going to delegate it to anyone else or blame anyone else. I'm going to be fully responsible for that. I'm going to start by creating the most I can with the clay I've been given. Because that's really gratitude. Gratitude is owning the clay you have and then creating the most you can with it. Two parts. That's true gratitude. We're supposed to want more. More of our clay. Building with what we've been given. There's a purpose for that. This persistent measurement of making sure we're doing the work every day. We'll want to maximize our days. And the bigger our problem, the more focus we'll want to put on that. And effective, doing things that make sense, that move us one step closer to that reality. Realistic. Realistic's an interesting measurement. It says, what happens when I'm building and it doesn't match my goals? What happens if it's not happening fast enough? Or I'm confused and can't figure out how to do it? This is when our dreams trip us up. So our dreams get in the way of our doing. We get so discouraged because there's such a disparity between where we want to be and where we are that we quit. We don't do the work. You'll notice the theme here. Are we doing the work and are we having fun doing it? Diligent. Just wants to ask, okay, now you're doing something. What happens when something gets in the way? What happens? Do I just take it on? Or do I allow it to happen and impact my creativity and thus my joy? Or do I blame it for my lack of productivity? Well, if I had more money, I'd work harder. If I had a better car, I'd work harder. If I had nicer clothes, I'd work harder. If I owned a home, I would work better. If everything was paid for, I would work better. The mission here, finding joy in the journey, is to work in spite of, to create in spite of, to make the decision to rise above, to feel that desire to overcome every fear we once knew at sunrise. That is internal. We can't go to enough coaching sessions, listen to enough DVDs, read enough books to make that happen. At some point in time, it is simply the decision that we make. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyous. I'm going to take what I have and create it, because the lack of happiness. Someone asked me what causes a lack of happiness, and I add to that an even anger that we're not, is an unmet expectation. It's that simple. The more present we are in the now, the more we're working with the clay we've been given, the more happy we become. Last measurement, vigilant. This measurement's interesting because we see it orange, maybe 85% of the time, where people really feel like what they're doing is not bringing value to the world or to them. I haven't found it yet. A couple of weeks, we'll go back into connection and intrinsic validation. The secret isn't what we're doing. The secret is how we're doing it. How we're doing it. Well, those are our six measurements. I want you to reflect tonight. If you've got like a home-based business, I want you to reflect for a moment and say, and you have a job. You have a day job. Do I love my day job? Or do I call it the W-2 job and I'm just going to be here till I get there? How are we feeling about this? Because some of the greatest work you'll do is in embracing and falling back in love with what you're doing. Because here's the challenge. Should you not do that, you'll eventually bring this anger to your new calling. And it'll be just as boring, just as repetitive and burdensome and hard. It's not as important what we do, but how we do it. So if you have a job, fall back in love with it. Tomorrow, walk in and look at the people and see who might need you and step up and say hi and step into someone's world. Maybe at lunch, see where someone might be sitting by themselves and go sit by them. Or invite them to go with you. be conscious of the world and the people in it, you may find the task that you do laborious, boring, but the people around and how you interact and how you serve and lift and build can make all the difference. So fall back in love with what you're doing and show up in agape love and see how many lives you can change tomorrow. This is a great option. When we get here, we also talk about sorrow, joy and sorrow. Because as Gil Gibran says in his book, The Prophet, they're inseparable. They're wedded together. So when one is sitting at your table, basically, one is lying on your bed. When it wakes up, the other goes to sleep. So we're in a constant cycle of sadness and joy and sadness and joy. That's how it is. That's not something to resist. That's something to embrace. Because when the sun comes up, we can yell and scream and holler, but it's not going to go down, not till its appointed time. It's just like the sun rises and falls in its cycle around the earth every 24 hours. So it is with our challenges. We cycle from sorrow to joy, sorrow to joy, sorrow to joy. And the richest times in our life, if we're embracing our sorrow, is those times. Those times when we're tested and tried. Retrospectively, typically, we find those to be some of our greatest times. So our mission this week is to read scroll number 3. I'll persist until I succeed. This is an incredible scroll. For however long that is, I'll persist until I succeed. He says, I will avoid despair, but if this disease of the mind should infect me, then I'll work on in despair. I will toil and I will endure. I will ignore the obstacles at my feet and keep my eyes on the goal above my head, for I know where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I will persist until I succeed. Now, all of us are human. All of us. We will have our bad days. We just want to have more good ones. Good ones being defined as we took on our life. We showed up. We intentionally created. We used our mind constructively. We got an inspired idea and we acted on it. And we're finding such joy, regardless of our financial circumstances or relationships. We're finding joy in our journey. Well, that's really our message for this evening. I'd like to open this up to anyone who would like to process through a question in this area or any other area if possible. So be brave. Let me serve you tonight. I serve you best when I'm serving you and answering a question. So who would like to come out first tonight? We may have a short evening. I do want you to go into scroll 3, and I want you to try something you may not have done. Hi.
Hi, it's Diana.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for coming out.
You're welcome. I feel so much better this week. I was kind of coming down with a cold last week, so I was a little, grumpy, I guess. But,
it's good to hear your voice.
So good to hear you too and to be here. This is actually kind of my favorite out of all of your classes that you give, because I think it is such a key. The whole thing is really about getting your head in the right place, and what I have found is when I get my head in the right place, it allows me to feel that love, and then it just kind of expands, and all kinds of opportunities just start to happen. They just start to show up. It's amazing. And I know for so long I just tried to make it happen. I tried to get that passion going. I mean, it just wasn't happening for me. And I think it was because I wasn't letting love in, you know. And I just find myself pretty happy in most of my situations. And some of the people that I know just that are doing the same things that I'm doing just complain about everything. They hate where they are. They hate what they're doing. And they're doing the same thing that I am with the same people, and I'm having a completely different experience because I'm loving the people, no matter how dysfunctional they are. I'm just holding that agape love space for them, and it just makes a world of difference. I get to know those people. My coworkers, they couldn't tell you the first names of any of the vendors that I work with. They have no clue. They don't know their family lives. They don't know why they're so shut down. I just kind of get in there and I'm just enjoying it so much because it's made my life completely different. It's made my whole approach to work, to just meeting people on the street, for that matter. It's just, and then once you can get in the right space, when you start doing the work, you get passionate about it, and then it just seems effortless, seemingly effortless. I know how that's you don't like that word, but there is a lot of effort that goes into work, but it can seem effortless when you're in that right heart space.
So it's not as important what you do, but how you do it. And when you start showing up for people, I'm hearing you say that everything starts to come together and you even find passion for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What a great secret. So what's your experience in terms of people who actually practice these principles?
That, they're a whole lot more successful, for sure. I've worked with a lot of salespeople in my days, and I can see now where the ones who were the best, who were the most successful, were doing this, and they were also the most authentic. And I think there's power in being authentic. There's power in really just being concerned about others and really, being a real service, not just doing it because you want to make money. And I know we have a lot of people on here that are in the network marketing, and I have been in network marketing. Right now I'm just kind of taking a vacation from it. And I have been very successful with it. And by that I mean that I made as much money doing my network marketing as I did at my regular job. And it's no different doing that than it is doing my job. And I don't resent my job anymore either, even though I'm not doing my network marketing. And I loved it. I love the freedom. I love I love the residual income coming in. I love everything about network marketing. And when I had to go back to regular work, oh, my gosh, I thought I was really fighting it. But I don't fight it anymore. It's like whatever it is that I have been called to do, I can do it now without rebelling and without fighting it and just going with the flow, basically. So the whole key is love and authenticity.
I absolutely agree. Stay with me. I just want to know if Doug's daughter was on the line tonight. We talked last week. thinking about a couple of things from what you shared, and when I'm pleased that you feel that way about the profession, because it's very noble when it's done the way you're discussing it. When there's not targets on people's backs, there's not duplicity, double-mindedness, where we're saying one thing and trying to act like another. It is really a beautiful thing to do in terms of independence in people. I just want you to know I really love it. It's been a privilege to support people that are working hard in that arena. And if there's anybody on the phone who is not, frankly, the industry's earned some of its taint from people who are unscrupulous or just money-driven. Just want to make enough money to buy a tropical island somewhere where they can get away from annoying people, and they have to act like they care until that day comes. That's really a sad part. Everybody wants to have a lifestyle. They want to travel the beaches of the world versus have more and more freedom to serve more effectively. Fascinating. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks for sharing the joy that you're experiencing. Because you've had a few hiccups over the last year. It's so fun to see you in this space. Yeah, you were so persistent. So doggedly persistent, just determined. The word I think of is pertinacious. You just weren't going to let go. You're going to figure it out. So congratulations for figuring it out. It's wonderful.
For figuring it out that I didn't have to figure it out.
Yeah. Just had to kind of lean into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. When someone finally arrives at a place of peace, they realize they were making it complicated. Finding peace is not complicated. It's really simple. Use your mind constructively to get inspired ideas, act on them. Take your circumstances, whatever they are, and do the best you can to create the most you can with it. That's basically the formula. It's that simple. I wonder where the confusion comes from.
Well, I think the Dalai Lama. I just love the Dalai Lama, and I think his book is called Happiness. And when you read it, it just sounds so simple. It's like, gosh, this is just everything is just simplified. But he had to go through a lot in his life in order to get to that space. And I think that that's just what happens with us. We're kind of like children that are constantly trying the edges to see how far we can go. And then we finally just surrender one day and just realize that there really aren't any boundaries. That those boundaries were all like imaginary. And it's just truly the love and the authenticity that just opens everything up, just wide open.
That's so well said.
And be like little children, you know?
Teachable.
Mm-hmm.
Humble. Free of judgment. What a great place to be. Well, thank you so much for sharing this evening.
Sure.
I'm just wondering how many people are with us tonight. Should we invite somebody to come and join us?
Absolutely.
Is there someone else who would like to share this evening? Okay, well, let's rest on those thoughts, because those are perfect. And thank you for being the voice for peace tonight, because we've watched your metamorphosis, and it's just so delightful to see. Congratulations. And thanks, everybody, for being with us tonight. Now, next week, we're going to take on self-esteem. I'm thinking about some unique things we can do next week with self-esteem. We'll need to have everybody show up so that we can do it. And by by showing up, I mean let's participate. Because this is a major, major challenge. I was in a conference call this afternoon for an hour and a half with an executive who's dealing with a person with this issue. Major self-esteem issue. And a person can come across as arrogant, egotistical, when in fact all they are is overcompensating for lack of self-esteem. It's just a wonderful thing to start to feel and see how we show up in our lives, either as victims or we're outspoken or we're opinionated, all in an attempt to protect our self-esteem. It's time for us to get to the bottom of the causes and start practicing the principles that will help us shift out of challenges in this area. We should be, even if we're in, we're reclusive a little bit, even if we're an extrovert or an introvert, especially an introvert. An introvert doesn't need to have a lack of self-esteem. Sometimes a lack of self-esteem drives us into introversion. But if we want to be introverted, we know who we are. We know that we need some rest. We need to, we know that we gain our strength from alone time, and you want to make sure that you have some. But we don't want to be driven there by a lack of self-esteem where we're just afraid to come out. It shouldn't be about fear at all. It should just be about where we draw our strength. Extroverted people draw their strength from being with people. What a beautiful thing for them. For the introvert, draw our strength from alone time, contemplative time, thinking time. See that as a gift. See our strengths. It's time for us to take a look at this and start to shake off some of the doubt and fear so that when we take off with intrinsic validation and connection with people the following week after that, that we're prepared. We're prepared this time to go deeper than we've ever gone so that we can create greater and greater levels of success in our life, which means we've acquired additional ability so that we're ever-increasing levels of ability to handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. Not the task is getting any easier. We're just getting better doing it. It's a wonderful thing to experience in your life. So let's come back next week, prepare to take on self-esteem. I would like to give you a challenge this week. And here's the challenge. To read Scroll 3 three times a day. Three times a day. Without fail. Morning, midday, and night. If you've got a CD, then listen. It's not whether you listen or read. It's whether or not you actually do it. I'd like you to do it for a week and then come back next week and report on the success you experienced because of that. Well, thanks, Diane, for participating again tonight. You're such a charm. It's just such a joy to watch you in your life. And thanks to all. Let's take this information and go create an amazing week. And we'll see you all next Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Good night.